anyone that would like to volunteer to do our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? Thank you, Captain.
Gracious Father, we thank you for coming. We just ask you to be with us as we go through this court session, and as each commissioner, and as well as each resident for us, as we bring issues before this court. We ask for calmness and peace for our fellow constituents. And we thank you for this wonderful world that you created for us, and we pray for goodness of our sins. In Christ's name, of course, thank you.
Amen.
If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Reflected, all members of court are present with the exception of Commissioner Clark, and we'd keep him in our thoughts and prayers, if you would, please. Commissioners, I need a motion to approve our Commissioner's Court agenda.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, we have the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Good morning.
Good morning. On behalf of the commander of the Texas commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, John Lunkwitz, I have a proclamation for the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court. Whereas the people of Montgomery County, Texas have great admiration and the utmost gratitude for all the men and women who have selflessly served their country and this community in the armed forces, and whereas the Purple Heart is the oldest military decoration in present use and was initially created as the badge of military merit by George Washington in 1782, and whereas the Purple Heart was the first American service award or decoration made available to the common soldier and is specifically awarded to members of the United States Armed Forces who have been wounded or paid the ultimate sacrifice in combat with a declared enemy of the United States of America, and whereas the contribution and sacrifices of the men and women from Montgomery County, Texas, who have served in the armed forces, have been vital in maintaining the freedoms and way of life enjoyed by our citizens, and whereas many men and women in uniform have given their lives while serving in the armed forces, and whereas July 10, 2018 has officially been designated as the day in Montgomery County, Texas, to remember and recognize veterans who are recipients of the Purple Heart Medal. Therefore, I, John Lunkwitz, commander of the Department of Texas Military Order of the Purple Heart, do hereby proclaim Montgomery County, Texas, a Purple Heart County.
Wow. That's great.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Where will this
obviously
be placed?
Motion carries. We need to find a good place. We'll work with Gilbert and find a good place to put that where it can be seen. Real quickly, how many veterans do we have with us today? If you could, just stand up for a second and let us tell us how much we appreciate your efforts. Thank you, every one of you, very much. Okay, Employee of the Month. Good morning.
Morning, Judge Doyle, Commissioners.
Morning.
My name is Natalie Lorenz, Chairman of the Employees Committee. I'm here today to present the June Employee of the Month with a Benny Harlan's gift card. And here's Chief Roderick to do it.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
On behalf of Constable Ryan Gable, we were very pleased that one of our other co-sergeants for this individual recommended Sergeant Stephen Sprague as the 2018 Employee of the Month for Montgomery County. Steve-O, come on up here. If any of y'all have never met Steve-O before, I can tell you he's the last guy that wants me standing up here right now with me. When Constable took office, one of his visions was to bring the pursuit of people that were out to hurt our children to Montgomery County, that involving internet crimes against children, child pornography, catching those types of people. This is one of his ideals. But when we got to Montgomery County, we tried to figure out who we had that could do that. At the time, Sergeant Sprague was in the court. He was a bailiff in Judge Connolly's court. And when we sat down and looked at what we had to work with, he quickly rose to the top. And since day one, he's come in, and he's worked day and night, literally. He's never off. I've gotten calls from this guy when he's on vacations with his friends in Florida, wanting to check up on cases. He doesn't knows in his vocabulary. His work and the work of the people directly underneath him have led to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of prison time for those in this community that are looking to hurt our children. And for that, we are very honored to present Sergeant Stephen Sprague with Employee of the Month for Montgomery County 2018 June.
Thank you, Steve-O, for all you do. Appreciate you.
He's taking me to Benny High for lunch. We'll be there.
Okay. We have a motion.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Congratulations. Item C, presentation from the Montgomery County Memorial Veterans Commission. Judge.
Commissioners, I've had some things we need to hand out. I'd like to hand out to some of the audience if I can get somebody to help me, please. I want to make sure all the elected officials and everybody gets some tribute.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what if it's in the box? Anybody would like to look at it? Okay, do you need to get one to see if you need it? Thank you, make sure to
come. Good morning. Thank you.
How are you? It's nice and clean, yeah.
Would everybody be able to follow along with us a little bit? And you can also follow it up here.
Good morning.
Judge,
how are you?
Be back.
Good morning.
Thank you. If you'll follow along with us here, first of all, I'd like to introduce Judy Chan Stewart. Judy is our Chief Financial Officer for the Montgomery County Veterans Commission. She is assisting me today with a PowerPoint. Only up until a few weeks ago, I thought PowerPoint was a position on a basketball team. So she's helping me do it to make sure I get through it. We'll lead off first with the first page. Gentlemen and ladies in the audience, I give you the newest images that we have been able to get on the new Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission Park, which is located at I-45 and 105 here in Conroe, Texas. The Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission pledges its dedication, commitment, and perseverance to the construction of the new Montgomery County Veterans Memorial. The future memorial will contain a series of galleries where veterans, the general public, educators, families, and students can gather to learn about the experiences, tragedies, and triumphs of the men and women who are serving or having served with the United States military with the great capacity and capability of the people of Montgomery County, the state of Texas, and the United States of America. We will succeed in this great undertaking. Lest we forget, honoring United States military veterans and their families who have their allies have sacrificed and served for the cause of freedom, liberty, and justice. Those who have given all. Endorsements and recommendations, affirmations, and resolutions. Your future memorial, gentlemen, the Educational and Visitor Center located at the southeast corner of the site of the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Park. Looking east to west, south to north toward the memorial. Another view. Place for education with conference meeting rooms, educational materials, and people can gather from all across the state in the new Visitor Center. Interior view looking toward the memorial. The memorial itself, south to north, southeast to northeast, east to west. Scenic view, south to north of the Serenity Reservoir. The aerial view, south to north. We began it right here, you gentlemen, cooperation of different groups across the county, right here with your resolution of support, and we have grown from there. January 24th, 2017, this court unanimously passed a resolution made by Mike Metter, seconded by Jim Clark. From there, the commission and the members went to the state capitol. There, Senator Creighton, Senator Metcalf passed resolutions of support signed by the governor of the state of Texas. They, in turn, notified the state agencies of TxDOT, Texas Historical Commission, to cooperate and to help this county build this new park. Now on to Washington, D.C. First of all, we went to Kevin Brady's office, and Kevin Brady unanimously supported us. You see the letter here from Kevin. Next, to the United States Senate, John Cornyn endorsed the park. At this time, I would like to introduce a lady, Megan Ballard. Megan is the constituent outreach liaison for Senator Ted Cruz. Megan began her political career interning with Congressman Brady in his district office. After this internship concluded, she started working for Congressman Bill Flores in the Bryan College Station area while attending Texas A&M. Megan stayed on Congressman Flores' staff until she graduated with her undergraduate degree in political science with specialization in comparative politics. Megan began working for Senator Ted Cruz at his Houston office in July of 2017, just in time for Hurricane Harvey. Megan is a lifelong resident of Montgomery County and an avid supporter of the work the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission is doing. She has a message from our esteemed United States Senator, Ted Cruz.
Dear members of the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission, I write to extend my full support for the Commission's effort to relocate and construct a new memorial park to honor our veterans and to educate the public on the sacrifices they have made for our nation. I have the distinct honor of representing Texas service members and veterans. These incredible men and women have served our great country and courageously defended liberty, with some having paid the ultimate price for it. Without their contributions, we would not be able to enjoy the freedoms which make America the shining city on a hill. It is my privilege to support the Commission's efforts in constructing a new memorial that will pay tribute to our veterans for their service and ensure that their dedication to our country will never be forgotten. I am confident that this effort will be a success, and it has invigorated the community and brought in civil leaders who have the earnest desire to serve and recognize our veterans. I am confident that the commission will make this memorial a reality and a true inspiration to our community. Our veterans have fought and died protecting the liberties we hold dear. They deserve a memorial that represents their services and contribution to this country. Sincerely, Ted Cruz, U.S. United States Senator.
There is a letter in this package that is addressed to me from the senator dated November the 6th. That was a personal letter from the senator to me. It's inadvertently is in this package, and I would appreciate if no one read it. Don't look. It was a very nice letter.
I may have to read it.
We were also endorsed by every post, American Legion, BFW, and American Legion Hall in the county. But then we began something that a lot of people said we couldn't do. We decided to cross this county to go to all 15 municipalities, both townships, home rule, and general law cities, to ask their support for this memorial and to support the commissioner's court behind this park. A lot of people said, Jimmy, this is not going to happen. You're not going to get 15 different communities and cities from different parts of this county to endorse these parks, especially in Conroe. I said, well, wait a minute, it's not that bad a deal if we can do it. So we embarked upon that, and this is the result after a 2.5 month labor intensive effort across this county. We began with the city of Conroe and their endorsement because the memorial was going to be placed there. That was passed February 9th, 2017. Next stop, Cut and Shoot, Texas. They passed unanimously resolution number 91 supporting the park. Next stop, Magnolia, Texas. Proclamation signed by Todd Canyon, mayor. Next stop, Montgomery, city of. Resolution number 201806, signed by Kurt Jones, mayor. Passed unanimously. Oak Ridge North, resolution number 2018-05, city of Panorama. Patton Village. Patton Village, they don't have a whole lot of money in Patton Village, and they're barely getting around sometimes, but they told us they didn't have any money, but they'd certainly give us a fish fry. They have plenty of fish. Next stop, Roman Forest, excuse me. Resolution number 37218, passed unanimously. Next stop, City of Shenandoah, passed unanimously. Great support. We received a standing ovation in the City Council chamber. Next stop, City of Splendora, resolution number 2018-06-18. Next to Stagecoach. Passed unanimously. If anybody's tried to get their way to Stagecoach, it is a long way from my house to Cut and Shoot to Stagecoach, Texas.
Sounds very back there.
All right there. Oh, by the way, great roads, Commissioner. Really enjoyed it. Over. Next, after Stagecoach, was the city of Willis. We went up to Willis, Texas, had a great group. We had a great citizens group turnout. A lot of people were there. The American Legion Post showed up. A lot of good citizens. After the city of Willis, we went to Wood Branch Village over in East County. Resolution 0524-2018. Then to the Woodlands. The Woodlands, after passing the resolution, Gordy Bunch recessed the council. We all posed for a picture and received a standing ovation from everybody that was there. I have missed one. It's Woodlock. It's not here. It should be next. We just got these off fresh yesterday, but Woodlock endorsed it. It's a small community, severely damaged from Harvey, as y'all well know. And they were really gracious, really helpful. We carried one main message as we traveled across this county talking to the different cities. And the question question was, will you support it? And they said yes. I said, will you support Commissioner's Court? And they said yes. And I also asked them a question and said, do you mind tax dollars being put into this memorial? There's not going to be many, but there are going to be a few. Not one council member, not one mayor, not one person is meeting in the audience. Nowhere did it. In fact, when we left the meeting there, the council meeting in the Woodlands, several people that were retired military were there. And they said, Jimmy, is Commissioner Nowak supporting this? What about the other commissioners? And I said, Commissioner Nowak made the motion to support the nonprofits, all seven of us last year, seconded by Commissioner Metter. He personally wrote us a check for $5,000 out of his campaign account. He personally raised $10,000. Yes, he supports the park. Commissioner Riley is going to have a fundraiser for us over in Magnolia. Commissioner Metter led the charge. He took care of the park that we have now for years, assisted by, at that time, Commissioner Doyle, eventually County Judge Doyle. Also previous to that, Commissioner Chance, Judy's father, Commissioner Ed Chance, kept that park open and up kept up. So they all went with it. They all agreed with it and agreed with us to do it. And that y'all had made the right decision to support and help the park. We have purchased over 1,000 plaques that went up in the old park. The new park, as you know, is owned by the state of Texas and by the city of Conner. There is no county property here. We've worked out agreements with them. So you've got a multi-million dollar piece of property on one of the largest, biggest intersections in this county here in Conner, Texas. So what did we pull off? We got, for example, Patton Village to join with Woodlands to endorse a park endorsed by the court. There will be a direct economic benefit in tourism dollars in Conroe, Texas. And we did it. We did it because y'all had the courage to lead with it over a year and a half ago. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of people, I have to understand, the reason why we did this, to get these communities to just go to the big foundations, to go to the big grant boys, to say, we got a community. And see, we're young. We're not. Some of them look at us, you got to be 5 years old to do this. No. So what you have is a 501c3 nonprofit joining with several layers of government from Washington, D.C. to city level to endorse this park. So we can go to the big endowments and say, we need your dollars. There are people that can literally write the check for us. Mm-hmm. And they'll do it because we're there and because we represent the veterans. And we know that we have y'all's support. So we put out flags. We also have an outreach director. We've decided to accent an education here in our educational center. So she leads a group of scouts. She's and put out the flags in the new park. Her name is Raven Rivero. She lives up in Commissioner Metter's district up in Corinthian Point, your district?
Mm-hmm.
Corinthian Point. And the youth, and I have kind of the Navy people, Army people, Air Force, et cetera, and you'll have to forgive me. I've used a few Marine Corps pictures since I am a veteran there. So the future generations, we're going to make this park go. We can build this park. The question is going to be is how we're going to maintain this park. What's going to happen 20 years down the road? We can build it. We can raise the dollars. We got to figure out ways of continuing that money. In time, I feel there won't be any tax dollars in it. We will sustain ourselves. But to get started, we got to do it. And I just want to let you know, your community, your county, has a lot of support and help out there for this park. And they also have a lot of support for y'all, for your courage to stand up for this park and for the veterans and for the sacrifice that has been done. We are very, very pleased to be part of it. I am. We have a great commission working. We'll be back in budget session to go over everything. We have projections and graphs and charts and all of that stuff. So if there are any questions, I'll certainly answer them. If not, I'll get out of here.
Amazing.
Gentlemen, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's amazing what you've accomplished already.
Thank you, Mike.
And this hadn't been going on that long. But y'all have made amazing, huge strides.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is unbelievable how fast we've strided.
This is the U.S. senators
and congressmen on board, that's huge. And I agree with you. I think it will be built. We'll figure out how to maintain it.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate all your help. We have so many volunteers. We've got a guy down in your precinct, Commissioner Noack, said, I got this landfill. I got the fill, not landfill, excuse me. Fill, dirt.
Not landfill.
No, no. Fill dirt. And he said, I'll fill that hole up if you need to. Great.
Good.
Engineering services over $150,000 that Commissioner Mitter's found up for us. Commissioner Riley, same way, with his people over there, his help financially, the things that he's doing and promoting over there. So we really, and Commissioner Clark, he's not here today, but he's under yeoman's job over there. Commissioner Clark was at our fundraiser. He helped move furniture, and he helped buy a lot of items. And he was there helping himself. And I knew he didn't feel well, but he was there helping out, doing the job. Any other questions?
Judge, you mentioned some endowments that are available. Have you made contact with some of those?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned some endowments that are available.
Yes.
Have you made contact with some of those?
Yeah, and so we got many
good,
more to go.
Good.
And we have a great Judy here is doing a great job as her finances, and so I can't add to it too, but she keeps it together.
Got it.
And for us, and she's doing a great job. Great.
Judge, this is not going to be just a Magnolia fundraiser we're going to do. This is going to be a countywide fundraiser we're after, not just Magnolia. We're going to go all out on this one, because I'm going to even get Metter to help on this one.
Tell him.
Yeah, and some more guys, but we're going to go countywide with that one.
Can you make a motion for that?
I can still cook a little.
Well, of all the things I've said here today, with all the endorsements, is the 15 communities that joined together.
It's amazing.
Across this county.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of people didn't get me done. A lot of people just said, Jamie, why are you even trying? And I just simply said, why not? That's what we did. Thank you very much.
Great job. Thank you very much.
Amy, do we need a motion to accept this presentation? No? Okay. Commissioner Mattard asked that we move a miscellaneous item to this portion of court. Commissioner, you had someone you wanted to recognize?
I did. Efren, were you here? Would you step forward, please? Lieutenant Cade?
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Efren Velasquez?
Velasquez.
Yes, sir. Works at our lake park. Efren's been part-time for, 2 years?
2 years, yes, sir.
And I'm sure all of you are aware, we had a child get stuck on a nail in our park underwater. It was kind of a scary scene. Lieutenant Cade showed up with his guys. Efren could have stood on the bank, watched Lieutenant Cade and them work to help get this girl loose from the nails that she was stuck on. He didn't do that. He got in the water with this girl. And there was a huge crowd there, and they were getting a little restless. Efren helped this girl. He talked to her in Spanish. He explained what was going on. He explained to the crowd. He took a volatile situation and calmed it down. He didn't have to do that. I mean, to me, this is going way above the call of duty, and Lieutenant Cade has got something he wants to read about Efren. Efren is studying or going to school to be a fireman. Lieutenant Cade told him no, he wants him on the lake. Yeah. You don't want to be a fireman, you want to be a policeman, come work with me. So I think, Lieutenant Cade, is there something you want to say? Huh?
Do you have
the
emails?
No. That's your job. Well, hey, but anyway, Lieutenant K did write a very nice letter about Efren that went into his personnel file. And if you want to say a few words, I didn't bring it with me.
Yes,
but
just to expound on the point that you're already making and the theme that y'all had all morning long, which has been amazing. There's certain people with the it. You can't train it, you can't gift it, you can't give it. Most people don't know if they've got it. But it's that it, that when something happens, You can either reach in your pocket and record it with a cell phone, or you can go do something about it. You can help somebody out. And that's that it. Efren's got it. And great job to him. Good job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Efren. You're going to stay with us a little while, aren't you? Okay. Efren, thank you so much for coming this morning. Lieutenant Kay, thank you for the things that you've said about Efren. I was not there. Lieutenant Kay and his guys were. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, that guy, he floated to the top. So thank you so much for all you do, Efren.
It's an honor for me to be here.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. Good job. Okay, Commissioners, under the County Clerk, we need a motion to approve our minutes from Commissioners Court dated June 26, 2018.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, I only have one change on consent. Item 9O, 1, 2, and 3 on page 9 are to be deferred relating to the airport. It's the only changes I have, unless there are other changes that you would like to make.
Move on consent.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Item 11A, discuss and take action on all county building remodeling approvals. You know, when Paul Case retired, I offered the position to Tim Stewart. I don't know if Tim's here. It's on the agenda today to be approved, if you guys should approve that. One of the concerns that Paul always had was, you know, he got pulled in a lot of directions to do remodels. My thought was that in order to take some of that burden off of Tim as he comes into that office, maybe any major remodel work that is to be done in the county comes through this court first. If that would be to the pleasure of this court, I would certainly entertain a motion to that effect.
I think that makes very good sense, Judge. A lot of times in conversations with Tim, he would tell me that an elected official or department head will call him, and, you know, whether they want a cabinet built or wall knocked down, he has to find a way to prioritize it, and funding sometimes will come from sources that maybe the court wouldn't grant otherwise, meaning that they may take supply money and allocate it for, you know, new cabinets, or they may try to use unspent salary dollars for a remodel, and I think it makes great sense for the court to approve all of those ahead of time. So thanks for that. I move on that.
I second. And I think that's the way we used to do it.
Yeah. It got to where there
was
a lot
get
of
back
stuff
to
going
that.
On.
Yeah.
That
we got to get some
Paul,
kind of control.
Paul was putting a foot to the spot sometimes, so Tim, we don't want to put you in that spot, so hopefully that'll help. If you have someone comes to you for a remodel, it has to come through here first. So. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 12A, budget. Ms. Carter.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. I'm going to start with the self-insurance funding factors. For the FY 2019, we're asking you to consider the new funding factors. They were in the agenda packet, but I'm going to go over them here in the presentation as well. The employer contribution for medical insurance, we're asking you guys to increase from $10,997 to $11,466 per employee. This is due to an increase in claims and an increase in, obviously, in prescription drug costs. It's kind of hard to on the screen here, you can see where actually prescription drugs, that's the price index, has gone up considerably in the last 10 years. And so we're asking the court to obviously make that reality present in the budget. You're not really seeing in FY 18, you see that we adopted a budget for prescription claims of $5.3 million. Well, that really doesn't suffice what we need. We're projecting to go over $1 million on prescription drug claims on that, just the considerable rise of prescription drugs. And then we're asking to go another a little bit higher again for 19. Medical claims, the same thing. We're seeing going to the doctor costs more now. Doing procedures is costing more. And so that has definitely been underfunded in the past 3 to 4 years, and I would say that this is the time that we need to bring it up and bring that employee factor to where it really needs to be. And honestly, it probably will next year, 19 and 20, probably going to see also a slight increase, just due to the fact that we need to make up some of that. We're hitting fund reserves every year on it, and so we're going to try and make it up.
Is that a function of costs going up or more people going to the doctor?
I think it's a kind of three factors. I think it's been under budgeted in the past. I think that more people are going to routine doctors, so I'm very proud of the risk management team and the purchasing team for doing the contract on the wellness clinic. I think that that will definitely help in the medical claims. And then I do think prescription drugs. I mean, you've heard, I mean, it's not anything new. Diabetes medicine, blood pressure medicine, it's gone up every single year. The shot that you have to get for the allergy medicine, if you remember that new article, that was just significant. So I think a lot of this is happening, and finally we're seeing it hit. And so instead of keep hitting the reserves as big as we do, try and make it up a little bit. And I think that this is the year to do that.
If we accept this increase in the funding factor and your projected numbers are accurate, will we be fully funding that projection?
That is no.
How far off will we still be?
But with my conversations between risk management and on the county auditor's office, the maximum that we're supposed to increase the employer contribution is 5%. And this puts us almost right at the 5% this year. So in next year, you could potentially see another 5%, especially if things keep going the same way. So yeah, we're still going to hit fund balance a little bit this year. Ideally, not as much as we're going to in the past. But, I mean, the problem is this probably should have been addressed 3 years ago. And so instead, the funding factors kind of remain the same. And now it's really time. I mean, it really needs something needs to happen. Retiree insurance is actually a little bit of a different story. Retiree insurance has actually historically been at the correct level. And so we're actually asking the contribution to go from $9,500 to $9,320. And basically, this is spreading the cost between more retirees. Next year, we expect the retirees to increase from 364 to 393. Remembering, though, that most of the retirees, the county's insurance is not their primary insurance. Medicare is. And so as their secondary insurance, we do have to pick up a lot of the prescription drug plans, prescription claims, but not as much of the medical. Some of it, of course. And so you can see, based on the 2018 budget and our 28 projection, we're intending to hit that projection and then increase it 3% for next year. For workman's comp, we're asking that increase to go from $775,000 to right over $1 million, and that's due mostly to obviously increase in claims, and you're seeing that every time the departments bring you a request to fund those deductibles. Property and casualty, we're asking that to go from $1.582 million to $1.898 million. This is due to a couple of things. We're obviously Hurricane Harvey and the floods have definitely, those claims have hit us. And we're asking the court to also consider moving the renewal date. So we think if we can actually renew our property and casualty insurance before hurricane season hits and lock in those rates, we'll actually probably get a better deal out of it. So risk management and county auditor's office, purchasing, and myself are all working to kind of look at some options for that as well.
And this increase, we're saying it is being primarily driven by Hurricane Harvey, we believe?
Yeah.
And so that the first level of our self-funded insurance is the $1 million that comes into play. Would we have been better off, Ginger, by just funding that ourselves? And is she in here?
She is.
I can't see.
From our...
Would we have been better off by just not claiming that? I mean, if we're going to pay $300,000 a year more in cost, looks like we might not have wanted to.
Some of our cost is due to not just Hurricane Harvey, but we are seeing some increases in our property that for the county-owned property. We're seeing increases in, as we increase our population, some of our employees that we hire in, some of those positions require additional property with them. It increases our fleet. So we are seeing some increases in those areas also. We could, and that's something that we will work with purchasing, is look at, do we
want to increase our self-insured retention above where it's at right now at the 100,000.
Yeah, what's the cost?
And therefore reduce some of that cost. So, but we do feel like we need to move out our renewal from hurricane season to put it in front of the hurricane season,
okay,
so that we don't get into a window of being in a storm.
And also, when we went through the claim process for Precinct 3, we noticed that some of our buildings were not insured at the proper amount. Is any of this increase due to making sure that, like, for example, that this building is insured fully, not partially, like
yes,
we experienced?
We are going to start a program with this new budget coming in to assess 10 buildings annually and take on that additional cost, because we do anticipate, well, it could cause an increase to cover those buildings at that new rate that would be applied.
Because, Judge, we learned during Harvey that Precinct 3's barn, for example, was, I think, is that we had it insured for $400,000 maybe. I mean, something way below what we could.
How much did we have in claims this year because of the hurricane? Do we know a dollar amount?
We had over, we brought in over approximately $3 million in our claims from Harvey.
When was the last time we increased property and casualty?
It's been a while since we've
what
increased
I was thinking
it. I can get you an actual year of when that occurred.
Well, there's a lot of factors involved there, not just Hurricane Harvey, but the cost of rebuild, that's all gone up. And
well,
I think
our,
it's time.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. A part of our program is inside that package has to do with workers' comp. We have another layer of workers' comp that's involved in that package. Our payroll affects that. The number of employees that we have affects that. And again, the purchases of and properties that we have. And as we go out and assess these properties annually, we do anticipate that we will see an increase to cover those.
But over the years, we've saved millions in workman's comp expense by being self-insured or workman's comp rather than going with TAC.
Yes, sir.
Millions.
We are just now moving into a realm of where we were at when we initiated our self-funded program under workers' comp. We are now at that realm of paying what we paid back at the point where we were covered through TAC.
Been paying TAC all this time.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Do you guys have any other questions for us?
How much do you project we'll draw down fund balance for medical payments if we accept this increase?
I believe it was around $2.5 million.
And that'll leave us with how much in
about
that fund
a little
balance?
Over 10.
We're still under 12,000 an employee for medical costs, aren't we?
Yes, sir. We're asking the court to adopt the 11466. Right now, actual cost is probably a little over 12, maybe 12.5. I have that projection that I can share with you. I just don't have it with me right now. But, yeah, I do have that projected out as well.
But I think in the self-insured community, that's very, very reasonable amount per employee.
And I think that the fund balance at $10.5 million is not necessarily that bad. I mean,
but it was 20 not too long ago.
Exactly.
That's
I mean,
wrong.
And I think that's been the philosophy of the, you know, probably the prior court is, you know, not instead of taking the funding factor, taking it from somewhere else, especially in the tougher, you know, climates. But I think that this is a year that if you guys really want to not hit fund balance as much, because we could hit it even more, then this is the year to fund it at almost the maximum that we can.
And you're certain the 5% limitation applies to employer contribution, not just employee? That's been thoroughly researched?
That is a great question for risk management. I am trusting risk management's take on that, and I can definitely get the county attorney's office involved.
It'd be good if we could get clarification on that. Mm-hmm. But I understand the stipulation. I'm just not sure that it applies to the employer cost as well. I know employee cost you can't raise by more than a certain amount, but we're positive it applies to the employer.
Both sides. We can either elevate one side or the other, but there's a 5% margin that we are monitoring on our rating.
Because if the cost is what it is, I don't understand how we can be limited as to how much we can pay for insurance.
I can bring that back.
Okay. I just think we need to look at it because it just doesn't make sense. If the cost is $15,000 an employee, I don't think the government can tell us, well, you can only pay $12,500. What do you do with the rest of it? Cut benefits?
No.
Well, I mean, I'm just asking. So that's why I'm not really sure that there's got to be a different.
Either way, we need to start bumping that up to
get, because
we don't need to be keep
hitting
that fund
balance.
We do have
a calculator that we can provide over from our TPA for the Affordable Care Act on what our requirements are.
We can.
No, I just want to see. I'm just.
No, I don't blame you. Absolutely.
It just seems odd that they would do that. But
we can look at what risk management is saying and get back with you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Amy, do they need to take any action if it's?
Do we need a motion on these?
Could we do it now or during the budget? Well,
we do it.
You can do it now if you're comfortable with that, or you can do it during budget.
Move on accepting the recommendation.
Motion and second. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
You're not tired of hearing me talk. I'm up again. Today, as you sat down, was your binder for the presentation of the FY 2019 preliminary budget. This is basically the first budget that you see. This will be the budget that you take into workshops as well for the next couple of weeks. For the revenue and expenses for FY 19 preliminary, we're asking the court to look at $336,453,649. This is a 2.4% increase over the same adopted budget as FY 2018. This is, just to be a comparison, 2.4% increase. The CPI index for the first quarter 2018 over the first quarter of 2017 was 2.2%. So we're really close to right there at that CPI. The population increased to 570,934 at the middle of 2017. That was a 2.9% increase the year before, and that's a stat from the Labor and Bureau statistics, along with the Census Bureau. And so we'll obviously get a more updated number, but you can see that our population is definitely increasing. And then I think it's important to look at the unemployment rate. Unemployment rate in Montgomery County is 3.6%. The national average is 4.0. I think that's a good comparative analysis to use, because as your unemployment rate decreases, the demand for jobs is actually really high. And so you have to take into account whenever you're looking at, you know, salaries for people and market adjustments and things like that. For the preliminary property tax, obviously Tammy's gonna hit on this in a couple of weeks. But we are actually expecting a slight decrease in general fund, a little bit more in the road and bridge, and then the debt service, obviously, to pay the debt payments has to go up a little bit. But the tax rates, again, remain the same. Some key highlights of what's included in your preliminary budget. We do have the first full year of the law enforcement step slotting, which between the constables, the sheriff's office, fire marshals, and DEA's office was about $850,000. The increased funding factors that I just went over are included in this preliminary budget, so I'm glad that you guys accepted that. The 1% cost of living adjustment has been included. This is for all personnel, whether you're in the commissioner's office or if you're building maintenance or whatever. It's 1% if you are in grades 1 through 10 and you're not above your current maximum. So HR has on a salary structure where you have the midpoint, maximum. If any employees over that maximum, we're not considering them eligible for the 1%. We also have $1 million that we're going to fund for capital improvements, and then you'll see in budget workshops, we'll have actually a special CIP work session that I would like to implement, where we go through the CIP projects and kind of prioritize for the court.
That $1 million, will that keep that total at the 13 million or so we've been at in the past, or is that?
I think it brings it to about a little over 12 million.
Oh, okay.
Cost
contract positions, just FYI, contract positions in this budget increased $1.5 million. So yeah, we did increase our budget $8 million, but of the $8 million, $1.5 million is contract positions. So that means Magnolia ISD asking for new officers.
Okay.
If, you know, the sheriff's office, I think maybe had one or two additional positions, you know, that they requested that are also included in the preliminary budget.
Okay.
So contract positions make up 4.5% of the budget. I think that's pretty important because that's basically money that other government entities are paying us to basically have their staff.
Do you know how much? Do you have any numbers on how much of the total budget is a pass through? You know, for example, the Joe Corley is a $15 million pass through. The mental health facility is a pass through that affects our budget, but it really doesn't.
Yeah, I can definitely bring that to you. I know we kept the Corley number pretty steady this year, but yeah, I will definitely bring all of that to you guys during budget workshops.
Okay.
Perfect.
Budget workshops July 24th through the 28th. And public hearings are August 24th, and August 31st, and those are between the tax rate and the budget itself.
Okay.
You guys have any questions for me? So obviously the preliminary. This is obviously your copy that you have a copy. We also would be posting the preliminary budget on the website for citizens to view, and as well the county clerk's office. Got a copy as well.
The only raises you have in there for employees are those the grades 1 through 10, and that's 1%.
We did have some departments ask us for some upgrades, reevaluating employees' performance, maybe doing the work of a higher grade. And so we did, I sat down with Dodie, and we've gone through those and made some recommendations, and we'll bring that to you guys as well, the list of the ones that we included.
They're included in this, preliminary budget. Okay.
Yeah, and actually, just to give you a reference point, in non-departmental is actually where we kind of put that 1%. That way, if we needed to change it at some point, so it's not actually in all of the department line items. It is in that.
Separate.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
While you're on the non-departmental, the budgeted amount of non-departmental for salaries, can you explain exactly what that represents?
Sure. So right now there's two numbers in that line item. The first number, which is going to be the baseline, is kind of a holding account that we use for step increases. So that's not just the step increases for the sheriff's office, but that's also the step increases for the constable's office. If now that the DA's office and the fire marshal's office are also in the step plan, it kind of helps cover some of those that we may not know about. And also, if a department decides to hire an employee, that could be some money that you could use to fund that those step increases. And the second part, which is the recommended, the preliminary new programs, that's going to be the 1% that I was talking about. And you guys will see that in that non-departmental line item, and then you'll also see it in your individual commissioners' budgets as well.
Got it. Just wanted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Good. An interesting budget year. Okay, no action on that one. Constable Precinct 4.
Good morning. Consider and approve the transfer of two Hummer utility trucks from the Defense Logistics Agency, the DLA, Disposition Service in Fort Benning, Georgia. The utility trucks will be reutilized and maintained by the Constable Precinct 4 Department for rescue equipment. The equipment is the property of the DLA.
Moved.
Second. Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Is this similar to what Precinct 1 got a couple months ago? Good.
Motion carries.
Okay.
Thanks, Chief. Risk management.
Consider and approve and authorize the county auditor to increase the impressed balance in the third-party medical claim administrator's claim account in the amount of $1.5 million, which will be sufficient enough to continue processing medical claims on a daily basis.
I thought we already did this.
In the proposed budget.
Did we not do this?
This is for this current budget, correct?
Commissioner, we did do this some years ago. So what this does is helps facilitate a timing issue that our third-party administrator has. Right now, they have $1 million that they hold of Montgomery County's money. And what they do is they pay the medical claims out of that $1 million so they can take advantage of early payment discounts instead of waiting to get through the process. What we've seen is, as Ms. Carter pointed out and as Ms. Little's telling you today, is the claims have gone up, the volume as well as the price of them, so that $1 million doesn't get it done anymore. So we're wanting to increase it to the $1.5 million that they'll just hold for us to take advantage of those, and whenever we bring the claims through Commissioner's Court, we replenish that balance with the third-party administrator.
I move.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank
opposed?
You.
Opposed? Motion carries. Purchasing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First item is to take all appropriate action to approve the contract with the following highly qualified provider per Government Code Chapter 2254 for right-of-way appraisal services for Sorter Road from Whitney & Associates in the amount of $220,100 for Precinct 4.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is to take all appropriate action to approve the purchase of 2 Liebert model air-cooled downflow systems through interlocal agreement with Choice Partners from NWN Corporation for a total of $68,500. This is for IT.
What exactly are these?
Bobby?
Yep.
I brought Bobby with me today.
Huh?
It's the cool the data center, but I'll let Bobby explain.
The data center at the EOC has 2 very old Liebert air conditioners, for lack of a better word. They're rusted through on the bottom. They leak into the floor. They've failed on numerous occasions where that data center has got to 100 to 125 at one point and actually caused the thermal failure. There's millions of dollars of equipment in this building, and what we're asking for is to be able to protect that going forward.
That's out at the old FAA building?
Yes, sir.
I move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Judge, instead of having Gilbert read all of these word for word, do you mind if he just says as on the agenda?
Yeah, can we do that, Amy?
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Not that I didn't want to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
But he didn't.
All right. Take all appropriate action to approve the purchases as listed on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. And the following we'll probably have to take individually.
Yeah.
Take all appropriate action to approve the award of Project 18-38, rehabilitation of roads for various departments.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
All right. Project 18-50. It was Burnham Woods Drive widening for Precinct 3.
And let's do 1849 with it.
And 1849 with this Ellen, is that?
Elon Boulevard.
Elon
and Burnham
Boulevard
Woods.
Widening
I move.
For Precinct 3.
Second.
Questions, comments, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, the next is an RFP for radio tower services for the Sheriff's Office. This particular RFP, we're asking that the approval of the contract with Schaefer Tower. It's a time and materials contract.
Move. Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The next is for Project 1853 CR Dow Way Construction for Precinct 1.
That's the preliminary, the perimeter road we're doing at the airport. I move. Glad to get that one done.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Next is RFP 18-30. This is for all hazards preparedness, planning, consulting, and recovery services for emergency management. The court has a couple of options on this one. We evaluated the submissions. We have Tetra Tech rated as the highest qualified. However, Haggerty Consulting is also a highly qualified vendor. The initial thought was that we would award a contract to Tetra Tech as primary and Haggerty as secondary. This is for the buyouts. However, the court can award it to Tetra Tech, Haggerty, or both.
Judge, last time we talked about this in court, there seemed to be agreement with the court that Tetra Tech was somewhat problematic. And also, the guidelines, when we put a product or a service out to bid, we have a stipulation that states that attempts to contact any members of commissioner's court or any other county employee to influence the procurement decision may lead to immediate elimination from further consideration. I'd just like to add that my office has been contacted twice directly by the gentleman at Tom Combs with Tetra Tech, in my opinion, to try to influence this decision. Because of that and the previous issues we've had with them, I would like to move forward with awarding this contract to Hagerty.
Yes, sir.
So that's my motion.
I second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
And finally, we have RFP 18-33. This is for Descendant Transport Services, Storage Services, and Disposition of Bodies and Deceased Paupers. This RFP was evaluated, and the recommendation is to authorize contract negotiations with two firms, one being Eichenhorst, sorry if I mispronounced that, Funeral Services, and Darst Funeral Directors. And this is so that we can enter into contract negotiations with them. We will bring that those contracts back to this court for final approval.
Who's the second one?
Darst, D-A-R-S-T, Funeral Directors.
Where are they? I'm not familiar with them.
They're a new, do you know, Kelly, where they're from? Yeah, I didn't have that one on my
list. There was.
Is that Tom McNutt's thing out at MIMS?
No.
It's not?
No.
You're not. Did you visit with Mr. McNutt the other day?
Yes, I did.
Is Darst local?
Yes.
Are they in the camp?
They are.
I move.
Second.
Judge, goes through your office.
Yeah, I don't, you're comfortable with those, just
yes,
those
sir.
Two?
Yes, sir. In fact,
I mean, hadn't we had several in the past?
We've had one.
I thought
yes.
We had
this
several
will give
in the
us
event
two,
that someone
two providers,
couldn't.
And just for the court's information, the evaluation team was made up of Dr. Paneri and the county judge's office and purchasing.
And Judge, this is transport as well, so it's not just
right.
The burials, which just
correct.
Go through your office. This is, deals a lot with the JPs and
the
other
yeah.
people. Yeah.
And the transport's the biggest
okay.
part.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Now I need to recess our commissioner's court for a public hearing in Precinct 2. Commissioner.
Consider to approve posting 45 mile an hour speed limit for Sendera Ranch Drive. Anyone here would like to discuss that? I'll see you later.
Okay. Now I need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our commissioner's court. No action on that one yet, Commissioner.
Is this ready? This is ready to go. Don't we need to take action on this?
On the public hearing?
On the speed limit?
Yes, you've set a public hearing for comment on approving posting 45 mile per hour speed limit to Sendera Ranch Drive. I believe that's currently a 35
it
mile
35.
Per hour in between two 45 mile per hour segments.
Yeah, we
take action
we
on
take
this
action
today,
on that today, or is it ready?
We can take action
okay.
after the public
hearing. Well, then I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. County Engineer 17A, who's going to present that one?
Consider and approve transferring HVAC right. controls coordinator position 600-69091, benefits and salary to building maintenance. And I think to be funded by contingency is irrelevant. We can just remove that.
Yeah, that. Can we move that funding from that position in engineers to the position at building maintenance?
Just move whole funding position, benefits, all of it.
Well, that's what the agenda item said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, it's just to be funded by contingency.
The challenge that came up is the county engineer's department sits in the road and bridge fund, and contingencies in the general.
It's two different funding sources. Okay.
Okay.
So what will we do? Just sweep the balance of that position into contingency and then pay this one out?
Basically, we would do a budget amendment to on the precinct side, on the commissioner's side, to take that and divvy it between the four precincts.
Okay.
And we can
put it back into road and bridge.
Right.
Okay.
That's fine.
Got it. Okay.
Move.
So we have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
Precinct three. Okay. Consider, discuss the role and authority of the Commissioner's Court and Budget Office in review, approval, adoption, and or funding of a county auditor's budget. When the court adopted the budget officer's position, or the created the office of the budget officer, the intent, I believe, was to try to extract as many costs out of the auditor's office to fund this newly created position in office. There seems to be some issues or discrepancies on, does the court have the authority to do that? Must the district judges do that? How do we try to work with the auditor and help her with her identifying of these costs, extracting them and placing them into this the new budget? For example, there are two budget analysts in the budget officers, I mean in the Phyllis's department, that I would like to see just moved over to the budget office, or at least the funding for that. And brief conversation with district judges, they're not certain if they have the authority to do that. They approve only certain things, so I've asked V.D. Griffin to look at this matter, and I think he's got some information for the court.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
With regard to the question of who controls the salary budget of the county auditor, I think it's pretty clear that the district judges do set the salary budget of the auditor's office, including assistants as well.
So if the district, so when Miss, at one point in time since I've been on the court, the auditor had gone to the district judges and asked for another employee, and they have said yes. So if they have the ability to say yes, she can have another employee, do those same judges have the ability to say no, she doesn't need these two employees now?
With regard to the salary, yes.
So it would be 100% up to the Board of Judges as to what the salary budget is for the auditor, not this court.
That's my interpretation.
So this court cannot direct the budget officer or the auditor to reduce her budget, correct?
That's correct.
That's the point I wanted to get across.
Okay, but with the positions that we've changed to the budget office, I think conversation with the district judges is in order, just to make sure they understand what our intention was. Do they know that? Do you know?
I believe they do, and hopefully somebody is watching or listening, and we can let them know that the intent is for the district judges to reduce the auditor's budget in an amount hopefully equal to the budget officer's budget, or at least as close as possible.
Well, if they are listening, and I hope they are watching, whatever, I think you need to be aware that just because we set up a budget office, and obviously those duties have moved from Phyllis's office to Amanda's. But be aware that there are things coming up that's going to affect the auditor's office. I mean, don't just be aware of things that are going to happen in the next year. Montgomery County Toll Authority is one. We've got a lot of issues that are coming on board. I don't know it's a good time to cut the audit department staff per se, just to be cutting it. If we can move some money to help fund the budget office, that's fine. But
yeah, I'm just
Let's don't understaff the audit department, right?
I agree with you. I'm just looking for any functions that are specific to the budget only to be extracted. Just not looking to take a hatchet job to the budget.
I agree with that, but I agree with Commissioner Meadows. Somebody's going to get pretty busy in your office, I would think, with the Montgomery County Toll Road.
Already have, yes, sir.
And the county clerk, since they're the record holder of the records after all.
It's also important, Commissioner Nowak, and you and I have discussed this, to note that all functions of everything to do with budget don't statutorily leave the auditor's office.
And I think you'll be working with the judges to point out what does and what doesn't and help direct them in where you can realize cost savings.
Of course. But as you and I have discussed, certainly still the auditor's office is responsible for the revenue projections associated with the budget. The auditor's office is responsible for enforcing the budget once it's adopted. So all functions, I know you had stated that you were interested in stripping all functions associated with budget from the auditor's office, and statutorily, many must stay with the auditor's office.
Well, the ones that should stay with you should stay, and
of
the
course.
Ones that we can move, try to move. And I know the difficulty is, though, you have multiple people with just a small percentage of their job allocated to a specific budget function. So you might have to really look at your people and reorganize the workload to try to shift some of that.
Yeah, I think it was recognized that our intention was to move those people that are preparing the budget out of your office, and then and any issues that you need to deal with, we'll deal with accordingly.
But I wanted just to point out that we can't just do it ourselves at the court. We don't have the authority. No one tells the auditor what to do.
Except the district judge.
And then number two, consider, discuss conditions, directions, and or designation of county budget officer and other appropriate county officer employee to amend budgets by transferring amounts budgeted for certain items to other budgeted amounts pursuant to Texas Local Government Code Section 111.070C2. This is specific to, we adopt a budget for, let's say, a commissioner's office, and we have a certain amount allocated to asphalt and others to supplies. And when a commissioner decides we need to move money from asphalt to, say, seed and fertilizer, that truly is not a budget amendment. It's more, I think you called it a line item reconciliation, perhaps?
Transfer among items or line item transfer.
So we're looking for some clarification on wording, because budget amendments are, is a more legal or technically precise term, that are limited by law, correct?
Well, it is mixed somewhat in the local government code, but the Attorney General's opinions and authorities seem to say a true budget amendment are things that where you're adding things to the budget outside of revenue that's already appropriated. And that requires very serious consideration and calamities and things such as that, very limited. So most of what we call budget amendments are really line item transfers among various items that are already budgeted.
And so instead of referring to them as budget amendments, we could refer to them as line item adjustments?
You could.
Budget adjustments, and we could also stipulate a dollar amount. So, for example, if a department head needs to move $500, you know, from supplies to pencils or whatever, they have that authority to do that without having it to run through the court, correct?
Phyllis is going to talk a little bit about
that specific category of line items. Is that correct?
Correct.
Can't move salary into operations.
Correct.
Right.
Can't move operations into salaries. It's just
right.
There's a reason we adopt salary schedules, PCRs and things like that. But I mean, in my opinion, if the sheriff wants to buy, you know, pencils, and he instead needs to buy, maybe I don't know, ammunition.
And
I don't know.
It's always the sheriff.
It's, you know, he should be able to do that. That's the reason he's an elected official. That's the reason that a department is a
right.
department head. You put them over their budget. They're the ones that overall maintain their budget. So
what threshold do you recommend us authorizing the department heads and elected officials have? Is 5,000? Is 10,000?
So right now the capital policy is 5,000, correct? So
that's correct.
And so I would say that you would want to limit that to $4,999. And that's just basically so that they can't move a capital item into an operational line item.
But that way every one of these little adjustments we're not coming through court and having to see. Secondly,
but at the same time, I don't want them to switch money over to do for example, we talked about the remodeling.
Exactly.
Yeah. What safeguards are in there to make sure we're not stepping across those lines?
The safeguards, Judge, are based upon you can only authorize that by they can only do that under guidelines as proposed or directed by commissioner's court. So you decide what guidelines they can do and what
first department head
to
violate
that
we fire them.
Be careful.
And if the the court seems they want to do that, I would suggest maybe give us some guidelines and we can come back, talk amongst the budget officer and the auditor in our office and actually delineate some guidelines.
That's what I was hoping to do. We're not taking action today. It's just coming up with a policy and procedures. Also, who has the ability to, when a line item adjustment goes through, who's taking that? Who's posting that to the system? Is it the auditor? Is it the budget officer? Is there some combination?
So we've discussed challenges with that, and we've talked to other governmental organizations to see how this gets done. And right now, our biggest challenge with that is the age of our finance system. Currently, whoever has the authority to enter things also can post it with regards to budget amendments. And in all of the other agencies that I spoke to, that's just not the case. In those agencies, the budget officer might enter a requested budget amendment. The auditor's office would review it for accuracy and appropriateness and then post it. Our system doesn't allow that. Whoever enters it posts it. So our current process is also very paper-driven because we don't have a financial software that would facilitate more electronic means. I've discussed with Ms. Carter and Commissioner Nowak that a potential solution might be that the budget officer would prepare the paperwork, the pieces of paper, transfer them down to the auditor's office, who would then review them for appropriateness, enter them, and post them until such time that we get a new software system.
And is that agreeable?
Some challenges can come up with certain types of budget transfers, like grants specifically.
And I mean, it's honestly a court decision, right? Because I've been in prior budget offices where the budget office did post it. I mean, and so I think it's honestly a court's call on who.
But I think our system is limiting that ability, correct?
I believe the difference was the difference is between a city and a county.
Okay.
So in a city, you have a finance director who reports maybe only to the city manager, and the finance director has staff that report to him, and so it's much more linear in its structure. County government is much more flat in its structure, and the county auditor has the responsibility for enforcing the budget, which would be impossible to do if someone else were posting to that system.
Right.
Okay, so I think you will generate the paperwork. Phyllis's office will review for accuracy and be responsible for posting it. Correct.
And we've worked with Ms. Carter currently because of some staffing constraints. She was hired late in the year this year and so needed some time to get her feet under her and get up and running with the budget process. So we have worked with her on some of that, and that right now we post them and we notify her of those. And I'm sure as soon as we get through the budget process and she's properly staffed, we'll transition that over. But to try to do it now might be overly burdensome.
Okay. We all work it out.
We will.
We have been.
Thank you.
Great.
BD, did I cover? Is there anything else we were wanting to cover in those issues?
So we're going to get a policy put together to address all this coming forward.
Right, I'm going to work with the auditor's office and the budget officer to create a policy that we can bring back to court for approval.
Did I forget anything?
No, unless anyone has any further questions, I believe.
Thank you for all your work, as always.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's the new word, yeah.
Okay,
and then number three, Judge, last time we were here, we all talked about the everybody on court agreed, and I think most of the community, that our community in some areas was heavily impacted, if not devastated, by Hurricane Harvey. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money that is out there. However, it's really hard for us to use it because of some LMI constraints. You had asked if I would put together a resolution. We have drafted a resolution. I think there's some member of Kevin Brady's office, Congressman Brady's office is here. We have Jim Stinson with WJPA who would like to say a few words about it. And the county attorney has reviewed it. I can read the whole thing. It's really long. I don't think we need to.
As presented.
The main thing we're trying to do is just let people know and say that we need these funds. We need to be able to have them without strings. There's a process that we can go through to try to seek an exemption from these strings. The county attorney's office is willing to kind of help us go through that. So with the support of the court, after hearing from Mr. Stinson, I think it would help this entire community.
Okay. Mr. Stinson.
Thank you, Judge Doyle, Commissioners Nowak, Riley, and Metter. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys today. Over the last, since 1994 that I remember, we've had a number of storms that have hit Montgomery County that have caused widespread flooding and damage to structures and neighborhoods. Following the April and May events of 2016, our organization has done a number of what I call neighborhood improvements that have had a substantial impact on improving drainage. I think, at least in my opinion and many folks, the areas along Spring Creek to do anything locally, we just can't come up with any local improvements to help those areas in Montgomery County along Spring Creek. And I think this Commissioner's Court and others have passed resolutions in support of a reservoir detention upstream, and I think that's the right direction to go there. Having said that, we still have areas in the Woodlands and probably other areas of Montgomery County that are impacted and have not been corrected due to funding. In my area, there are two distinct neighborhoods where 150 or more homes are impacted during major storms. Have been over since 94 at least four or five times or more. And we are looking and requesting funding to help implement a couple of improvements. One is along a major drainage way called Bear Branch.
Mm-hmm.
We've identified an improvement in the neighborhood of $7 to $9 million there, which would improve drainage for well over 150 homes. A number of those have flooded on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. Research Forest, a major thoroughfare running through the Woodlands, is substantially inundated during events. This improvement would eliminate that for a large portion of Research. So we are just requesting the court and others to take a look at some of these neighborhoods that really could improve drainage with some assistance in funding.
Thank you.
And where would Bear Branch improvements be? Where are you got limits on that already?
Yeah,
or,
we've identified a project. We've run it through the Army Corps of Engineers in Galveston a couple of times, have their blessing, so it's ready to go.
Okay.
With community approval.
And just
and
like
funding.
Each of us, these LMI requirements take away the opportunity
yeah.
for us. I mean, flooding doesn't know if you're rich or poor. When that water starts to rise, if you're in the way, it's gonna take advantage of you, and it's really frustrating to know that we have teams of professionals that have worked hard to come up with ideas, but because we can't meet this arbitrary number that the government puts in place, that we can't even use our own tax dollars in our own communities. It's just wrong. We need help to get that fixed. So I move to we sign this resolution and send it off to everybody.
Thank you.
I second.
You have a question or comments? You're right, Commissioner. Having gone down to HJC, I know, Commissioner Riley, you've been down there. It's very frustrating. I talked with Judge Spinrath from Wharton County the other day that had no one in his county that wanted buyouts, but they needed a lot of infrastructure dollars. We have no infrastructure damage to speak of, but we need money for buyouts, and we're trying to work out a way where we could just trade funds with those counties. It makes more sense, but trying to do that because of these limitations is impossible. So if they would allow us to work together with the other counties, I think we could come up with a lot better solution and more effective ways to spend that money.
Yeah, I think when we, me and Joanne and Darren went down there and Jim Fredericks, we suggested, well, I think we were the first ones who suggested the swap, and it was kind of like they'd never heard of it and they don't want any part of it. But I think I think they're going to have to come around to realize that that's the only way it's going to work.
Can't bring common sense solutions.
Yes, it's going to have to work some way like that. We're going to have to figure out a way to convince them that that's what we need to do.
I agree. Well, keep working at it.
Hopefully this resolution will get some motion started in the right direction. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Precinct 4, consider and approve an interlocal agreement between the City of Conroe, Texas, and Montgomery County, Texas, regarding a portion of Crichton Road and Barton Woods, Section 3.
Yes, Judge and Commissioners, this is an interlocal agreement between Montgomery County and City of Conroe, the portion so that to allow them to maintain and have responsibility for a portion of Crichton Road that will be in this subdivision that ultimately will be annexed very soon by the city. It accelerates their timing both for the annexation and for their plat approval. That's the purpose of this interlocal.
Great. Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Amy, this next item, the presentation of Citizens Budget Committee, because it's not a county department presentation, is that something that requires action or requires a motion and a second to hear?
It's an agenda item. It would be an agenda item. So
there's a motion, it's a presentation if you want to hear it.
Move.
Motion to hear the presentation. Is there a second? Motion fails for lack of a second. Human Resources, Doty.
Good morning. Please consider and approve the payroll change request form.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Oh, now we need to recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071. Items out of executive session to take care of. Commissioners have two resolution and orders to settle claim number G17-0023.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Under item B, we have a resolution and order to settle claim number A-17-0044.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. And on item C, we have a resolution and order to settle claim number A-17-0124.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. And now at our citizens portion of the agenda, for those that would like to make comment on today's agenda or items that are not on today's agenda, Mr. Jones was the first one that signed up.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Yes, sir. My name is Paul Dewey Jones. Been here in Montgomery County since 1969. I reside now in the Woodlands in Commissioner Nowak's precinct. Basically, back in the on the flood control, back in the early 80s, we went through a lot of flooding. Carol Sheldon, who was our only female commissioner I'm ever aware of in Montgomery County, put together a task force and selected several of us from each precinct to try to find some type of funding mechanism for the San Jacinto River Authority so they would have funds where they can do a study, determine what needs to be done on a entire river shed. Earlier, I heard the man talking about they're getting ready to do a small portion in a particular community. All of that's fine and dandy for that community, but I'd sure want to know where that water is going to go. You know, the Woodlands was given permission to put a big old 1,500-foot wide ditch, run the water from the west side to freeway, underneath I-45, all back down behind, floods the cemetery. Montgomery County, the simplest way to understand it, it is a bathtub that is to the brim full of water. Most people tell you they want to take a cup of water from the back of the bathtub and put it in the front of the bathtub. That doesn't solve the problem. Anyway, we spent 4 good solid years getting legislation passed with the help of Rodney Towne and several others. Jimmy Edwards was helping. And what it did, we were allowed to use a 1 cent sales tax. We were going to be the first flood control district that was going to be funded with a 1 cent countywide sales tax. We put it on the bond, put everything together, thought we had all of our ducks in a row. We were wrong. We got beat 2-1. People do not, if they don't flood, this is the mistakes we made is the main reason I'm here, to keep y'all from making the same mistake. If people do not flood, they are not smart enough to understand that if their neighbor floods, it affects the value of their home, and it affects the entire county. We didn't convince the people how important it was that we solve the problems that where people flood. Harris County has a flood control district. They are not going to let you run any water into Harris County from Montgomery County, period. You can fight with them. You can tell them this. They'll tell you they'll do this. They'll tell you they'll do that. But they're not going to do it. They're in the process of cleaning out part of the drainage that takes it past Kingwood, but they're starting downstream and working upstream to get out rid of the, sorry.
Mr. Jones, thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's terribly complicated.
You have been around a while, haven't you?
Yes, almost as long as you.
All right, there were two people that signed up to speak on an item that was deferred. Would you like to speak, Mr. O'Sullivan?
Yep. This is Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands, Texas. I'm Precinct 3. I was going to speak to the terms of both the budget being initially introduced and the now deferred citizens budget. Make some recommendations. First thing you got to do is you got to plan. I always come up here and I talk to you about planning. I've talked to you numerous of times about the advantage that Precinct 3 had during the road bond in getting things done and getting started and moving along. And that's because they had a South County mobility plan. Next thing is we're looking at this pass-through toll. We understand we're going to have to do it through the TIP system. We don't have anything. TIP has been around for I don't know how long, and we don't have anything firm in place to do that. So at the end of the day, if we have to front the $54 million, we're paying interest on that, and we're giving the state the benefit of that same $54 million, having them not give it to us. So it's planning, which is important there. The Road and Bridge Fund, you have to lay out a projects over 20 years and stuff that's make sure that the money is there when you need it, when you need to resurface the roads. That's something that shouldn't go into bonds. Use the bonds only for mobility. We're going to need it. Let's plan it, and let's that's the place it belongs. Nothing else should belong in with those bonds. Next important thing on your budget is public safety. Public safety is your primary responsibility. And I've seen where the Sheriff's Department wants things, and you should really work hard to get them those. I fall within the budget order situation. It doesn't make sense to me that you have people doing work in the auditor's office that gets transferred to a $300,000 budget office, and for some reason the funds don't move. Doesn't make sense. And last thing, we're having with the Purple Heart thing today, we're having a guest tonight at Gordy Bunch's office. Our meeting is 6:00. At 6:00, it'll be a meet and greet. It'll be Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw is a Navy SEAL who had an IED, blew out his eye. He actually lost sight in both his eyes. He fought his way back to active duty, qualified left-handed to get deployed two more times. It's the kind of guy he is. He also has a master's degree from Harvard in public policy. And he's the candidate to replace Ted Poe for Congress in Precinct 2. So you're all invited. I hope you can make it. And I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan. Sherry Shorten had signed up to speak.
My name is Sherry Shorten from Precinct 4. This is my input regarding the county budget process. First, I know everyone has heard that zero-based budgeting is a method to justify every expense before adding it to the budget. But with this method, when it's blindly applied to the budget without making changes to the underlying processes that actually fund that budget, it can be a recipe for disaster. If the Citizens Budget Committee report is similar to last year's report, the recommended budget will cut costs without changing any of the underlying processes. When this happens, it has the same effect of recommending the same amount of work be performed by less people with less supplies and provides no analysis of the changes to services that will be impacted by that proposed budget. This is backwards. A successful zero-based budget process actually examines the amount of priority work expected to be performed in a given year and the method by which that work is completed. For the public sector, the goal is to increase the overall organizational efficiency for the entire county by forcing departments to work together to actively prioritize programs and create uniform processes throughout the county. This organizational efficiency translates into lower costs only when new ways are implemented to achieve the same things. So ultimately, a budget that arbitrarily cuts costs without developing new systems to streamline the tasks performed by those employees will result in disorganization and negatively affect communications between the departments. In order to realize any long-term sustainable budget cuts, the first step is to examine the underlying processes used by all departments and all county employees. That's not an easy process. Now that we have an actual budget officer, I recommend assigning the budget officer at least two departments or processes to thoroughly review over each fiscal year to find new ways to achieve the same things and improve the overall organizational efficiency of county government. The budget officer has the best perspective for reviewing organizational efficiency because she can drive the process internally by recommending the elimination of duplicate efforts between departments and the sharing of best practices countywide. I know that some will discount my suggestions because it's not immediately cutting drastic amounts from the budget, but that would be short-sighted. We need to implement a long-term solution to create effective budgets that is still achieve the annual priorities set by Commissioner's Court. Thank you.
For your comments. Anyone else that did not sign up today that would like to address the court? Yes, sir. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes to make your comments, and we cannot respond. We may direct you to other offices of the county.
Adrian Kaiser, Precinct 2. Commissioner Riley, just representing the Citizens Budget Committee. And Citizens Budget Committee has met over 5 times in the past month and reviewed every line of the county budget. This report involves approximately 3,500 person hours of the county, of county time, including the approximately 1,500 hours from last year. Our objective is to reduce the county's annual spending by $100 million over 4 years, but put approximately $40 million back into increase in law enforcement and public safety expenditures and into a capital fund, which would include road and bridge expenditures. The executive fund, by the fiscal year of 2017, the county's budget has grown to over $377 million per year of expenditures. It had an increase of 424% since 2000 and 77% since 2010. Population has grown only by 84% since 2000. In comparison, Collin County, which has almost twice the population of Montgomery County, had a budget of over $328 million. The fiscal year 2018 budget of Montgomery County was less primarily because of the differences of the same bond obligations with the use of pass-through toll revenue. So our budget does do a net reduction for law enforcement departments of a net reduction from non-law enforcement departments of $24,668,975. The net increase for law enforcement is $5,425,797. The net increase for the capital fund is $2,785,216. The Citizens Budget Committee Fairness to Taxpayer Budget Archives, a net reduction for the fiscal 2018 budget is $16,447,962. And that's what the Citizens Budget Committee has done through our entire working effort.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else that would like to address the court today? All right, Commissioners, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
We adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.